It's Chevy truck season, and there's no better time to do what you do best. No better time to get the job done in a Chevy Silverado with best-in-class standard torque and a Turbomax engine with a 5-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty that outlasts both Ford and Ram. So kick off whatever your thing is season right, because it all starts with a Chevy truck.
See your Bay Area Chevy dealers today.
Based on latest competitive data, excludes other GM vehicles, whichever comes first. See dealer for limited warranty details based on Ford and Ram 5-year, 60,000-mile warranty on gasoline engines.
All right, nice to have you back with us. Eno Saris joins us. Eno, of course, is a writer for The Athletic and really nationally one of the top analytical baseball writers, I think, in the country. So, Eno, great to have you with us. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a nice day, and we got baseball coming up. Couldn't be better.
Well, just a couple of beers for you. I know you're a beer guy. That would make it better, wouldn't it?
What do you think I'm going to do after this phone call?
Okay. As long as it's not before the phone call. All right. Hey, you had a couple of really interesting articles, and Bill can join us in a little bit this week. One was very, very important, and the headline is how the difference between sunscreen and advanced grip substances could help MLB navigate a tricky enforcement landscape. A fascinating article by you and Ken breaking down the issue of what pitchers put on their hands. It's stuff that can keep a brick on your hand. That's how strong it is. But it does help in the revolutions and the spin rate. So tell us where we are with this. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's a continued string of reporting where about this time last year, I was writing about the fact that about 80% plus of the pitchers in baseball are putting something on their hands. And traditionally, we thought, you know, you got the rosin out there, you put something on there so you can grip the ball better, you don't hit the batter. That's kind of the old school thinking on it. But the problem is we have these machines now, and everyone's pitching in front of the machines, and now you can put on some, like, literally bubble gum, resin from anything. You can boil down Coca-Cola is what I know some prominent aces in baseball are doing. This stuff that you're referencing, SpiderTac, is something that can hold, you know, like a lightweight brick, like a cement block up with how tacky it is. So if you put those on your finger and then throw in front of the Rapsodo or the TrackMan, these things that track all the data, you find that you get as much as 500-600 RPM, which is amazing. I mean, the top spin rate in baseball, Trevor Bauer, is around 2,800. So you're talking about going from the beyond middle of the pack to top of baseball if you use this stuff. One of the things I said, though, is like sunscreen and rosin. If sunscreen and rosin is there and it helps, we'll never be able to do anything about this because you can't ban sunscreen. But as it turns out, there's a big difference between sunscreen and rosin and this new stuff that people are using.
Well, the stock of bullfrog has gone up for the sunscreen, apparently.
Yeah, but, you know, if they do that, they can get some grip. They won't get 500 RPM. And RPM might sound like something that's just, like, random and not that, you know, it's kind of technical. The way that you get movement on a pitch is through spin. And so the more spin you have, the more potential movement you have, which means that these guys, some of the crazy breaking balls you're seeing in the league today, where they're going 91, 92, and they're dropping like a curveball, those pitches are made possible by some of the science.
Interesting. Bill, you're there on this one. What do you think about this? Now, you pitched, of course, in the 80s, so what about all this stuff?
Well, I'm 100% positive that most of all this is going on because of the slipperiness of the ball, and a lot of these guys want to get that seam on their fingertips, and that's where that spin comes from. And you know, Anno's talking about all the different grips. They need to check the hats of these guys because if you look, a lot of the thumbs are touching the bottom of that lid and their fingertips are touching the top of the lid. And that's where a lot of that substance is. A lot of times they'll spray a substance on there right before they go out there. You don't see it, but you can feel it. You can touch it. And that's where that comes from. It's always the slipperiness of the ball when you're looking at a breaking ball because the pitcher always wants to throw off the seam. That's where the spin comes from. So maybe they need to start checking a little bit more of the hat, maybe behind the belt. A lot of guys hide it around their pants. You know, they're always dipping in there and touching something. But that's where the sticky comes from. And he's absolutely, you know, you're absolutely right on some of the stuff that they're using because they're getting creative in how they're trying to get that substance on there.
Well, they get the sunscreen and rosin, and that gives you a better grip. But when you go to the super tacky stuff, you're increasing your spin rate by 500 or 600, which is amazing. So what do you do? You know, Gausman is a good example of this. I listened a little bit to the Philly broadcast when he pitched earlier in the week, and he touches his hat almost every pitch. Did you notice that? He touches the brim of his cap.
They all do. A lot of these pitchers do, Marty, and a lot of them aren't getting caught. A lot of them aren't looking at that. They're just, you know, they're looking at the spin of the rate like Enos is talking about. But the key is when are they going to stop the game like they did with Joe Niekro in Minnesota and look at him and take his hat or whatever. They're sooner or later they're going to have to. Bauer is the guy that everybody's looking at. Somehow, some way, he is using some kind of substance for his breaking ball because those breaking balls are wipeout spin rates.
Go ahead, Eno.
Yeah, the Bauer story is actually really fascinating because – a few years ago, he was trying to tell everybody, he said, you know, these substances are increasing spin rates around the league. And he would talk about it publicly. And then he actually had a game where in the first inning alone, his spin rates were 300, 400 higher than they'd ever been before. And I wrote a story where I quoted him about that phenomenon. And he had to dance around it because, you know, technically it's against the rules. But in not so many words, he was like, yeah, that's what this stuff can do. You saw it. That's what this stuff can do. And I think eventually he just got tired of baseball not doing anything about it. And I think you're right. Are they going to stop someone? They're collecting balls on Bauer. That's part of our reporting. Are they going to do anything when they find that there's a substance on all these balls they're collecting? And if they don't do something about it, then just everyone's going to continue doing it. And I think it contributes to the strikeout rate, which right now is over 25% for the first time in baseball. More than a quarter of the time people are striking out. It's kind of crazy.
Well, that's why I think they have to do something about it. But then to discipline a pitcher, number one, you've got to, being a criminal lawyer here, Michael Gaines could appreciate this. You know, you got your chain of custody issue, you know, of who touches the ball. Is it a first baseman putting something on the ball? Is it the catcher?
The catcher.
So you have, it's a question of proof that, and then you have the union involved because you can't just discipline people without due process. So, you know, what about all that?
I mean, I think that's why baseball, through sources, and none of this is like admitted to publicly, but like they are working on this, and they know about that. And I think the idea is they're going to go slowly and try to gather a lot of evidence. If you think back to what happened with the steroid era, they did have kind of like the Mitchell report, and they had that first round of testing where they're like, okay, if, you know, X percent of you guys get caught, then we have to have a steroid policy, right? Mm-hmm. So I think they're kind of in that same level where they're like, we gotta research this. There's also a CBA that's about to be negotiated, so we don't necessarily right now want to start a big fight. You know, if you're going to give baseball the benefit of the doubt, and I'm not sure you should always, I think that the idea might be to collect as much knowledge this year and then maybe do more about it next year. But we'll have to see. We haven't seen anything since Michael Pineda a few years ago, and that was just because he had a big old splotch of pine tar on his neck, and everybody could see it.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, too, is you got to look at their gloves. You see a lot of these gloves darker in different spots, and that's another thing that these guys hide the spray on. But one thing Major League Baseball has done in the last few years is getting rid of the ball immediately. You see so many brand-new baseballs being used. I mean, it touches the dirt. They're throwing it out. Mm-hmm. That's one way they can eliminate some of the things because – back in my day, God, a ball would go off the fence and you'd snag it and use it off as an illegal pitch. And they don't do that now, but they're not rubbing up these baseballs enough. I really believe some of these balls are extremely slippery, and I think that's one of the reasons why these guys are going to some kind of substance.
Well, you know, Saris with us from The Athletic. It's a fascinating article that came out yesterday with Ken Rosenthal. You know, we know they've taken the baseballs from Trevor Bauer, and they're harbored somewhere in some mayonnaise jar somewhere that was sealed up. But what about other pitchers? Are they doing that for them?
I mean, they're, you know, behind closed doors, there are fingers being pointed. But I think one of the things that's also made it difficult to do anything about this is that so many people are doing it that any team feels like if I point the finger too hard, You know, there's the saying, you got four fingers pointing back at me. There's no team that wants to be kind of leading the charge, because they may have guys on their team that are benefiting from this. So it's a kind of a whisper campaign at this point, and you'll never really know until they start deciding to actually do something about it.
Well, we'll finish it up with this. It's not a big deal unless you use the tacky substance, and then you go up 500 spin rate. If you use this rosin and the bullfrog and sunscreen, you can kind of deal with it. So it's a question of of keeping it at that level. Maybe they'll authorize that, but we'll see. Bill, before we leave the subject, did you ever use anything like this?
Saliva. I use saliva all the time, off my fingertips, and then wipe the palm of my hand on the pants, and the saliva would still be on the fingertips, and it would make my sinker move faster because it would come off my edge of my fingers.
Do you ever have your spin rate checked?
No, the slider would have had a real good tight spin rate. They didn't have that back in the 80s, but I'm sure it would have been really good. The curveball was just an off-speed pitch, but there were so many guys that cheated. You know, I could go on and on with so many pitchers that used so many substances and cut balls off the little edge of their glove. You know, back in the 80s, Marty, there was so many different things going on. Guys were doing it left and right. I mean, let's get Gaylord Perry on the phone. I mean, he'll tell you everything about what he did. Yeah. He was unbelievable.
Interesting. Sharp belt buckle.
Yeah. How about that? And Elston Howard. Buckle. Elston Howard used to cut the ball on his shin guard for Whitey Ford.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know,
and then throw it back to Whitey, and there was no problem. Boy, interesting. All right, very good article. You know, very good. The other one was a little bit earlier in the week, and it's determining who the best pitchers are in baseball with some analytics. And you say, throw out the home runs, it's too early. But there are a couple of metrics that you use, and when you look at your list of pitchers who are the best ones, they really fit the metrics. So explain that a little bit to us.
Yeah, I mean, when you're this shortly into the season, I mean, we're not far into the season, you know, a thing like ERA will change tremendously from start to start. It's not really that useful to look at a pitcher's ERA. And one of the things that we found is this, like, power numbers, you know, how many home runs a pitcher allows is not something you can predict reliably until you get almost three quarters, almost the full way through the season. You know, so I wouldn't look at home runs allowed. I wouldn't look at ERA. But one of the most powerful things in baseball statistically is strikeout minus walk rate. And if there was any way you just could look at that, the difference between strikeouts and walks for a pitcher, you would know as much as you could really know right now.
What does that do for the Giants? What does that do for the Giants pitching? Because I looked at your list, and I think in the top 30, I didn't see one Giant in there, but they're 13-7.
Well, I mean, it's always difficult with the Giants because the park is such a factor. You know, I think it's easily the most pitcher-friendly park in the league. So that's always gonna matter in your analysis. But when it comes to limiting the walks and doing the strikeouts, I think the star so far might be Disclafani. I think he has the best strikeout minus walk rate on the team. Gossman has a pretty good one. He does really well, and so does Disclafani when you look at the movement and velocity on their pitches. Mm-hmm. They both have above average stuff, as you would say, in terms of the way their pitches bend and how they interact. So I think it's a decent squad, but it's always going to look a little bit better because of the park.
You mentioned a couple of those metrics. One is the velocity, the command, and the stuff, the bend, so to speak. The bend seems to be the most important one because that's the one the hitter has the trouble sort of tracking.
Yeah, one of the most interesting revelations that's come to me over studying the importance of movement and velocity over the last few years has been that it takes a certain amount of velocity to get to the big leagues. But among major league pitchers, movement is more predictive. Vertical movement in particular is more predictive of how good a pitch is than velocity. And so you'll see this with maybe Sergio Romo comes to mind, where here's a guy with a tremendous amount of drop on his slider, just a tremendous breaking ball, who, you know, for the large part of his career was averaging 87 on the fastball. So, you know, there are things that are coming out right now where, you know, velocity gets you to the big leagues. I sure couldn't go up there with a ton of drop throwing 45, But once you start talking about the difference between 94 miles an hour and 92 miles an hour, all of a sudden movement makes a lot bigger of a difference.
Wouldn't Tyler Rogers fit in this category extremely well because of all his movement on his pitches?
Oh, my God. Yeah. But there's also a relationship somehow to where you release it from and movement and sort of what people expect. So there might be some hitters out there, I would particularly lefties, that might face Rogers and kind of lick their lips just because that type of movement they're used to. They can see the ball a really long time because it's coming around right. Tyler's body at a lower angle. So lefties might be able to see him really well. But righties, that ball is coming at you. You can't even see where the ball is coming from. And then it just dives into your legs, and it's really, really hard for righties.
And he's handling lefties pretty well, right, Bill? Mm-hmm.
He is. He's doing it really. He hits that outside corner, and then he bends them inside. So I look at that kind of spin rate, and then you look like what you're saying, the bend. He's got bends, it seems like, every pitch he throws. And
yeah.
He has no velocity, so it's got to be calculated as the bend or the turn or the pitch.
Yeah.
Well, that's something we'll look at. Yeah, well, that's something when we watch the game, we'll look at that, the depth of the break on the pitch. Okay. Now, DeGrom has just been outstanding. Ooh. You know, there are numbers being put up by guys, you know, earned run averages of 0.38, you know, 0.38 or whatever. It's crazy what we're looking at. What's going on with a guy like DeGrom?
I mean, one of the things is he's just a modern pitcher where, you know, he does that thing where I'm saying he limits the walks and he does the strikeouts, but his strikeout rate now is 50%. He's
okay.
Striking out half the batters he sees. And in a league that's already, with the average strikeout rate is 25%, that's, you know, obviously the best in the league, but it's kind of maybe a product of our time too, where, he's just a great pitcher with great stuff and great command, but also, in a time when everybody's striking out.
How do you like the guy in Milwaukee?
In an average game right now. Yeah. With that?
What about the guy in Milwaukee? What about Burns?
Yeah, I mean, he's even more of a modern pitcher because he throws a 4,000 RPM cutter at 96 miles an hour as his main fastball. That's pretty weird.
40 strikeouts, no walks for Corbin
that's
Burns.
Amazing.
I'll tell you one, of course, it's only April. You get into a short series with those guys, with Woodruff and Burns, that could be it.
Yeah.
It'd
be tough.
That's interesting. Do you know this offhand? On the Giants, who's got the highest strikeout percentage of at-bats? Do you know that?
On the pitching side or the hitting side?
On the pitching side.
I think the last time I checked, it was Discofani.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
Okay. Well, that's something to watch.
But, you know, not saying relievers.
Correct.
Because relievers always have a higher strikeout rate. I was talking about the starters.
I would have thought Gausman would have been up there. I would have thought he would be before Slovani.
It's one of the two. It's definitely one of the two.
Yeah.
Well, wild. Hey, Eno, great to have you on.
And good stuff.
I'll pump that little quiz you put out there, too, the analytical quiz. That I did get five right. I was impressed. I got one more than Andy Baggerly, extra bags. And he's a Jeopardy champion.
And second best number I heard, the father of StatCast, Tom Tango himself, only got seven. So I think I made it a little bit hard.
All right, very good. But it's all there at The Athletic, and you do a great job. We love having you on, and thank you, Eno.
Yeah, thank you, Eno.
All right, thanks for having me.
Okay, that is Eno Saris of The Athletic.
It's Chevy truck season, and there's no better time to do what you do best. No better time to get the job done in a Chevy Silverado with best-in-class standard torque and a TurboMax engine with a 5-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty that outlasts both Ford and Ram. So kick off whatever your thing is season right, because it all starts with a Chevy truck.
See your Bay Area Chevy dealers today.
Based on latest competitive data, excludes other GM vehicles, whichever comes first. See dealer for limited warranty details based on Ford and Ram 5-year, 60,000-mile warranty on gasoline engines.